All right, so you don't...
I'm watching.
You're watching. Oh, we have an audience. This is awkward. I'm not used to having an audience on the radio. Actually, that's probably a lie. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
That sounds good. You know what? I have these headphones.
Yeah, maybe.
We're a little short on headphones. Would you like some Vegemite? It's really gross.
Oh, I definitely don't want to try that. I've already tried that.
You've already tried it?
Yeah.
Not a fan?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Me neither.
Yeah,
I'll stick with the Club Mate, thank you. All right, so would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Michael, but my nickname is Vedder, and I'm a speaker. I'm speaking at 11 at night about IoT devices and how to bring them into your home, how to live with them. And I just thought it would be a great idea to talk about it on the radio.
Well, I think that we thought that was a great idea too, which is probably why we have you on board. I don't know if you're aware, I'm Beaches.
Hi.
We talked by email.
Yeah, we definitely email.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you're talking about people bringing... I think your way that you're selling your talk is that it's your roommate. You have a roommate and they have brought these Internet of Things devices into your house and how you should deal with them. Is that correct?
Exactly. I'm basically giving an example of a device I recently got, and then the important... The things that other people can take away from my talk is how they can treat their own devices, how they can hack them, how they can do it time effectively so that they won't just spend all their time reverse engineering the device, if there are easier ways to maybe block the communication or things like that. And there's examples. There are three parts to it. The first one is about the application that came with the device. Mm-hmm. The second part is the device itself, the hardware and the firmware.
Mm-hmm.
And the third part is the remote server it communicates to, because of course it communicates with the Chinese server, why not?
Yeah.
And I have some ideas about how people can first research their own device, but also domesticate it, which is the same metaphor.
I like using domesticated for making a device your own, as opposed to being wild and ornery and under.
Exactly.
I was domesticated, so I'm like, there's all that. I'm just here for two things. One, to tastefully interrupt that. I know we're having this lovely gentleman right now about IoT devices, which I'm excited for. Like, there's a ton of IoT talks this year.
Yeah.
We actually have the guys from Xode waiting outside. They know that the schedule was filled, but basically, if there's any gaps, they've said that they're around. So if they'd ever like to pop on, that's up to you, because that's a scheduling thing.
I actually had kind of an idea about when we could put them, but I want to look at it a little bit more.
About the what?
About when we could schedule them, fit them in.
Okay.
I think there's some late night stuff maybe on Saturday. You have the one of those roundups, I think. One of those roundups really early in the morning.
Oh, right. Okay. I will...
Is that one full, or could we maybe...
No, I can add people
minutes
to that, and I'll double-check in a moment.
Okay.
But I do want to ask a question before I quickly run out, and then I'll give this thing. Kind of just offhand thing. What is the weirdest IoT hooked-up thing you've seen so far? And I know there's a lot of them.
That's a great question. The usual stuff is IoT devices sending things to the server, right? But one of the things we've seen... The company I'm working in does IoT research. I'm not one of the researchers, but of course there's cameras that have a ton of hacks. I think the weirdest thing we've seen is maybe an IoT device that contains an SVN repository with all of the code, like a device that's in production with an SVN repository on it. Hope that answers the question.
That is pretty weird. I guess someone forgot to hit delete on multiple things.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, and that's the emails and all of the history, of course.
Maybe that was intentional. They felt like they really had to take open source to the extreme, and they're like, we're giving you this device, so we should give you the source code.
Yeah. Maybe it's some kind of a GPL thing.
Okay, so you were talking about there being three different kind of stages with regards to... So if somebody were to... be interested in adding an Internet of Thing device, is there anything that you would say that they should be looking for before bringing one into their home?
So in the pre-purchase stage, you can do a few things. You can, first of all, of course, Googling the device and trying to understand the source of it. For example, the device I have is marketed by an Israeli company, but the family of devices itself is very popular. Called Broadlink. It's a Chinese manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see how hackable it is, whether other people have reverse engineered the communication, have APIs, whether maybe someone actually wrote a replacement app. You can download the app and see if you want to run it on your own device. You can decompile it. There are a few steps you can do. I suggest going with the most hackable device that you can find.
That seems like a pretty sensible approach. The more you can hack it, the more you can actually have it do what you want it to do, as opposed to what the manufacturer wants it to do.
A lot of the times, also, the manufacturers and the app developers don't really use the device or don't really care. So, for example, the device that started it all is a smart button for my water heater.
Okay.
And after like 30 minutes, you don't need hotter water, right? It's just hot enough. And there's no functionality to turn it off after 30 minutes, things like that, which are really easy to add once you have an API.
Yeah.
So you need to make your device your own. And when you do that, a lot of the times you'll find cool things that you can do that the manufacturer obviously didn't think about because, well, they don't really care as much.
Yeah. They're probably more focused on just getting something shipped out the door that's going to be just enough that people will want to buy.
Exactly.
Because R&D is expensive.
Yeah, and product design is not something that Chinese manufacturers are really known for.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. In the supposition, I don't know, I don't want you to have, like, talk about your talk before you talk, because that seems like that would be silly.
I'm spoiling everything, damn it.
Spoiler alert, just turn off the radio, guys, if you're interested. What kind of got you into... So you work for a company that does research for Internet of Things devices. What kind of led you down that path?
So actually just getting the device itself wasn't part of any of my job, and it was just a need I had. I wanted to heat my water. I bike to work and bike back, and I wanted it to be hot. And there are a lot of things you can automate right now that will make your life easier. It's something like an internal process I have that once in every few months I just see what I can automate and do it, which is a great habit for everyone else too, I think. And obviously, like, just my self paranoia, I guess, I really wanted to see what's going on the device. So that's where the initial research came, checking the application, replacing it with my own creation. And then once the talk got accepted, I thought, how can I make it more interesting? And then I started taking it apart and trying to solder things to it and seeing what it's actually built of, the chips, things like that. That will be visual and interesting.
Yeah. All right. So, what got you kind of into this hacker's mindset? Like, I'm sure you didn't just wake up and were like, I'm interested in this Internet of Things device. Maybe you did, actually. Maybe you were like, this is really interesting and I want to dig into this, and you decided to just keep scratching that itch. But
so the device itself isn't really interesting by itself. It's it's mostly really like scratching my own itch. And one of the things, like, I'm interested in a lot of topics, and especially something like a new IoT device. It's the first IoT device I have in my home. I wanted to see how it affects me. Like, for example, one of the things I am going to talk about is that at first I just installed the app on an old tablet I had and carried it with me, which is, I mean, it's a partial solution, right? But it's also not a great solution. And generally, I've been into the maker movement in Israel. We have a few conferences. We have a yearly conference where you need to have a project and you need to build something that's not useful by definition. So that's how I got into electronics. The coolest project I built there was a punching bag with some sensors. And when you fought it, there was a game of Mortal Kombat. So your movements translated into Mortal Kombat that you could see. And there was multiplayer. There were two of those, so people could fight. And there was a DDR mattress for movement. And all of that was during a whole weekend with no sleep.
Yeah, that's so awesome, man.
Yeah,
that sounds
good,
great.
Project.
That's really cool.
Yeah, last year, me and my friend who's in the conference, we've created a cocktail making machine with 12 bottles that it could take from it, that it could suck liquid from. But there was an app with it that just randomly chose a drink, and then you got to answer a poll, and and it ran machine learning to make the drink better and better and better.
Okay.
And at one point it was pretty good, but then it overshot. I guess our algorithm was overfitting and it became like too alcohol-y. Or maybe that's what the people in the conference wanted.
Maybe, I don't know. Oh, man. That's super interesting. These are all pretty interesting. This is great.
We have kind of an idea for this year to build a huge Etch-a-Sketch.
Okay.
Yeah, that takes your picture and just automatically creates it on the Etch-a-Sketch. We have no idea how to do it. That's the point of the conference.
So you got to go do something crazy and off the wall to really kind of learn stuff and get your fingers
Exactly. So that was the same thing was with this project. Like, I have no background in any of this. I'm totally unqualified to do any of the things. I'm just like a back-end developer. But you know, trying things really, really is the way to learn.
I definitely agree with that. So is this your first Hope Conference?
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you think of it so far?
It's very fun. I've only been to one talk at school. There's the lockpicking area. I really like it. Well, this is also my first time on the radio. I hope I'm not boring anyone.
Yeah, you're doing great, man.
Thank you. And just like whenever I give a talk at a conference, I'm a bit like maybe, you know, it takes a while for me. After I finish it, I'm way more comfortable, you know, walking around. But I'm still like making final adjustments to the talk to the presentation during the talks. Like yesterday, I was in a New York City Resistor, which is a hackerspace.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like the end result of my device is currently looks like an IED when you have it, and I couldn't take it on a plane with me here.
Yeah.
So I just brought like a closed one, and I went there to prepare it, to solder anything I need to it, and replace the LEDs. I found like an electronic store and SMD LEDs that I can manually solder instead of the original LEDs of the device, just because I can. There's no reason for it. Yeah.
I mean, come on, you got to make it. If you're in there, you might as well make it look. That's how you make the device yours, is by customizing.
Exactly. Actually, I just need to put paint on it so it will still be like ghostly blue in my house. But ghostly red is better than ghostly blue, right?
I think it comes down to personal preference, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So you traveled like into you're not from New York City,
no,
right?
No.
So
I'm sure it sounds like
you traveled in. How long are you going to be in NYC for?
I'm going to be here for 2.5 weeks. We scheduled it so that the talk will be at the start of it, and then I'll get to enjoy Hope, and then enjoy the city, and visit friends, and visit Boston, where I have also a few friends. It's a vacation. But I also get to do cool things like this. And of course, attend Hope, which, I mean, it's a very cool experience. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the things that Hope is known for, Israel doesn't really have. For example, really a lockpicking scene or tool even.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are hacker conferences, but they're more technical and less culture-oriented, like this one.
Yeah. That is one thing that I'd like and appreciate about Hope, is that it feels like a lot of... Hope isn't necessarily super technical. It's more of a hacker culture appreciation. Like, there's more cultural as well as technical talks, as opposed to just straight-up technical talks, which I think is something that is missing from some of the other conferences, at least in the United States. Not that I have a terribly large amount of anything other than Hope, but based on my interactions with them.
And, of course, it's in New York City, which is, it's definently not the reason why I'm but, you know.
It is a bonus, right? Yeah. It's a nice place to be.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm asking our IRC listeners. Well, okay, so IRC listeners is kind of weird. We have an IRC channel, and we also have listeners. And hopefully there will be people that are listening and that are also on the IRC channel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have any questions, now would be the appropriate time with which to ask them.
Sure, definitely. Are there any?
Not yet so far, but I'm going to put something in the chat itself as opposed to just talking about it.
Okay, sure.
Don't worry, the wall is mostly secure.
Am I also on camera?
No, we don't have the camera set up currently.
Cool. That's a great setup here. For people who are not here, you should really come and interview.
So I'm thinking they want to do something late night, right? So if you go down to Saturday evening? So this Mads Pulse Decay All Right Trolls and Booze.
Oh, Sunday?
Yeah, would that maybe be something we could shorten? Because that's like a two-hour block, right? 11:30 to 1:30?
Oh, yeah. No, oh, that thing?
Yeah, could we maybe shorten that up and have them come on?
Yeah.
You're still active, right?
They could even come in it, too. It's like...
Yeah, it's kind of a free-for-all block, right?
Yeah. Wait, oops. Yes. Okay.
Okay, oh. Yeah.
Are you doing this 24/7?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes, we are.
I'm sure, like, the 3 o'clock play.
We swap out. There's some kind of rotation that happens. It's not anything scheduled in terms of who will be here when, mostly.
Okay.
But it somehow works, and somehow we come out of the other end, and everything kind of just comes out very nicely. It's perfect. Sorry, typing on phones is slow and hard. So, while I have you here, have you looked at the talk schedule? Is there something that you're particularly looking forward to?
Well, the Locksport Variety Hour is something that I can't miss. Like, last year I've seen the stream. It was very interesting. And there was also a great talk about Chinese locks that was great.
Oh,
so
yeah, I remember
this
that
year
one.
It's like 2 hours, which is great. I'll probably leave and go, like, finish the actual presentation in a bit. You know, just-in-time presentation.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's like Java, just-in-time exactly. Compilation, just-in-time presentation.
Yeah, and there are a few workshops that look pretty interesting. And I did actually look at the other days. I just wanted to make sure that today is all fine. And then I'll see you tomorrow and the day after. There are great talks, actually. Like, a lot of interesting... cultural, but also technical things.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We have a nice mix.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you're going to be speaking about Radio Statler.
Yeah, we will have a... we will be doing our panel sometime Saturday night. I think I should know that, but... I have a calendar reminder. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's exactly how
we'll
I...
We'll show up, and we'll have a thing. And there will be slides. We actually have slides this year, which is an improvement.
Will people be talking on the radio, or will the talk be on the radio?
During our panel, we will be in the panel room. And then we're going to take the audio stream from the panel room and rebroadcast it live. So people should be able to tune in via radio or via video to listen. But other than that, we don't have terribly many things that are being streamed from other parts of the conference. So there's, like, really kind of three things. We have concerts, which, do you like chiptune music?
Oh, like the old computer style, like the console style music?
Yeah, so we have, like, some chiptune artists, among other things. There's actually a guy, Radio Wonderland, who takes FM radio and then remixes it live using a Buick steering wheel and, like, 5 pairs of shoes.
What? Shoes?
Yeah, not kidding. It's
okay.
Really cool. If you were available for the concert... 10 out of 10 would recommend. It's a great time.
Okay,
they have visual artists as well.
Okay.
Definitely would recommend that. That one is in Ritchie.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. It's like there's a guy who plays computer games with weird controllers. So that's taking it to a new level with mixing music on shoes.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. We have one, I think, pretty much every time. It becomes a yearly tradition to have him come on. yearly, biannual?
Yeah.
I think so. Biannual, I think, is every 2 years, and biennial is every 6 months.
Biannually? Yeah, I have no idea.
Or maybe that's backwards. English is hard.
Yeah,
it's kind of a terrible language.
Exactly. I just don't use those words.
Avoid the middle class. So we have the concerts, which I would definitely recommend that you go check out. And then Chelsea Manning will be doing a Q&A for 2 hours. And, you know,
so
that's
is it better that I don't know who he is?
Chelsea Manning?
Yeah, I don't know who he or the other interviewee... Barrett Brown is. It's like they're not famous outside of the U.S., I guess, or maybe I'm not connected enough to something.
Chelsea Manning is probably more famous in the U.S. than globally. I'm not really sure. I live in the U.S. and
yeah.
I interact mostly with people in the U.S., so everybody has a vague understanding about Chelsea Manning and what she has kind of done. And then Barrett Brown... can I borrow this?
Yeah, definitely.
It's, I don't know. I don't know all the people that I should know, and I feel like I'm a bad person
for
knowing
them. No, that's fine. We both don't know. That's a great thing. That's why there are speakers.
We'll learn together. There should actually be... So if we come to speakers, it has,
technical
like, it has piles. So, oh God, there's my bio. So
I think
Barrett
it's
Brown.
The first time I see my bio printed out like on an actual paper. That's very, very cool.
Yeah. So Barrett Brown is a writer and anarchist activist. Say that to anarchist activist. That's really hard to say. I like it. That's a good tongue twister. His work has appeared in Vanity Fair, The Guardian, The Intercept, Huffington Post, New York Press, Skeptic, The Daily Beast, Al Jazeera, and dozens of other outlets. In 2009, he founded Project PM, a distributed think tank, which is also hard to say. Think tank.
Think tank.
Which was later repurposed to oversee a crowdsourced investigation into the private espionage industry and the intelligence community at large via emails stolen from federal contractors and other sources.
Okay.
In 2011 and 2012, he worked with Anonymous on campaigns involving the Tunisian Revolution, government misconduct, and other issues. In 2012, Brown was arrested and later sentenced to 4 years in federal prison on charges stemming from his investigations and work with Anonymous. While imprisoned, he won the National Magazine Award for his column, The Barrett Brown Review of Arts and Letters and Prison. Upon his release in late 2016, he began work on the Pursuance System, a platform for mass civic engagement and coordinated opposition. His third book, My Glorious Defeats, will be released in 2018.
Okay, sounds like a journalist who does a lot of activism, right?
Yeah, a writer and an anarchist and an activist.
An anarchist activist.
Anarchist activist. These don't appear to really be in much of an order, so I'm going to look for Chelsea's bio real quick so that I can read that.
Sure.
We have a lot of speakers.
There's
I think that's a good
thing. Another track with no speakers in it.
Another track with no speakers in it. Do you mean
the fourth track?
The Lightning Talks?
Yeah, there's
Howard's
nothing
going?
On it yet. I've looked and no one has scheduled themselves. People are shy, I guess.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I do know that there is... a guy who's gonna be has signed up for doing a talk about how to borrow a car in 60,000 milliseconds.
Borrow a car.
I'm sure he's saying.
Yeah.
okay, so I finally found Chelsea Manning.
Okay.
Chelsea Manning is a former intelligence analyst for the U.S. Department of Defense, who, as a person of conscience, chose to be a government whistleblower. She is a Washington, D.C.-based technologist whose actions have demonstrated the power of individuals to change the world through bravery, conscience, determination, and political activism. Chelsea is a vocal advocate for government transparency and queer and transgender rights on Twitter and through her op-ed columns for The Guardian and The New York Times.
Okay, so what did she inform the public of? I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot.
Never mind.
No. Let's...
You know, the all of the things that Snowden revealed, I guess, with his, whistleblowing, and now he's like a persona non grata, right? Like, he's not allowed to come back to the U.S.?
It's not necessarily that he's not allowed. It's that come back onto U.S. soil, he would get arrested and then put on trial, and it would be a whole thing.
Interesting. A lot of the things in Israel we have a big military and everyone's in it, and obviously some people, a lot of those things people just kind of knew, I guess, that at least we kind of do the same stuff, but it was like a serious deal when he... had the presentations, the actual internal presentation.
Yeah, like that's kind of a...
Yeah.
It's one thing to be suspecting that that's a thing that happens, or to kind of, it's like not a very well... But like actually having the presentations, like, here is exactly, like, this is how we sell this to the higher-ups that we should be able to do.
And the way that it's, like, use the services that you can just, have a mobile antenna, cellular antenna that, takes over people's phones or things like that, that's pretty scary. Hopefully, it's something that we can find a way to know, whether there's a rogue cell antenna somewhere,
Yeah, that is one thing that frustrates me. I believe that, at least for rogue cell phone towers, I believe that SIM cards by standard are supposed to, like, notify you if you switch, like, towers to something that has, like, no encryption on it, which is, I think, usually how those attacks work. But because cell phone manufacturers think that's annoying, they, like, suppress that. It's just like, oh, come on. Like, at least make that a checkbox. But yes, annoy me.
Exactly.
If I can, if something weird starts happening, then...
I mean, it does that for Wi-Fi. It's, it should do it. I guess there's no actual difference between cellular and Wi-Fi.
I'm sure there's lots of technical differences.
No, I mean,
between them,
I mean, like, user interface wise.
Yeah, user interface, you don't really know.
Yeah.
And that's actually one thing that I think is interesting, or maybe scary, is things that, like, pretend to be... So when your cell phone, it broadcasts, hey, I'm looking for this SSID, is this SSID here? And then you can pretty much just have a device that says, yeah, I'm totally that SSID. Mm. And it'd be nice if, like, my phone would be like, so this is, like, the SSID for your house, and you're not in your house. This might be weird. Like, that would be a nice thing that you could probably do if you... I think that would be a nice feature.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not super technical with regards to...
I think you can write an app that does that because you can have access to location. I mean, location is really not used a lot in security things. That's one thing the IoT devices, for example, need to improve in, like, understand location better, I guess. For example, you know... understand where I am and whether, like, in workflows, like, okay, I'm heading home, so start the water heater or something like that.
Yeah.
There is so many things that you can do with it, like geotagging or geofencing. And,
that would be it, needing to know where your location is, though, for that specific use case. So that might not be super great because then your, you know, your dishwasher needs to know where you are. I don't know what we're excited about, but woo!
Someone opened the lock.
Somebody opened the lock? Do you think that's what it was?
No, who knows?
I'm going to
assume. There's so many people out there, I mean.
Yeah, the mezzanine is quite busy, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. And the talks are all full. I hope mine will also be at least somewhat full, even though it's 11 p.m. I don't know. How does it go here? Like, do people come to talks that late, or are they all
Yeah, people will come to...
That's good.
They'll come to a talk that late. They might be drunk. I'm not sure, but...
I prefer them drunk.
You prefer them drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
It leads to way better questions.
I would believe it, yeah.
Not only about the topic itself, just in general.
Just better questions in general.
How should I live my life? What is life?
All right, I'm going to check in on IRC here.
Sure. And I need to go soon, so let's see if there are questions.
All right, questions.
Awesome.
All right, who's listening to the show now? We have a listener. We have at least one listener. That's
okay.
Good.
Can you know how many people are listening?
There is a way, if I were to know that dark magic voodoo. I don't use OS X, which is what we have here.
Okay.
So I would expect that this would... there's some interface. There's got to be some interface.
I love the Jinx... the Jinx sticker on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great...
I'm actually, for as old as this laptop is, it has a surprisingly few amount of stickers. I would expect this to be covered.
Exactly.
Completely.
Well, you have a chance. There are so many stickers outside.
This is this time to sticker. I feel like this is going to be... that was a terrible noise. I should never do that again. I don't know where I was going with that. The train has derailed. it did not make it out of the station. There should be a way for me to tell. I just don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. Are there any questions? Something?
Questions? Bueller? General question. Max throughput on communications. So has there been any, like... I'm going to make that a more general thing. Have you run into any, like, limitations when you're trying to modify, like, at least the device that you've been messing with? Have you found something that's limited, like, your ability to actually do something?
So that's a great question because my device is actually very unhackable. It uses a custom chip by a company called MediaTek. It's very low power, which is okay. It has a very limited stack, a network stack called Micro IP, which has limits on how many connections can it have, how many access points. It can be an access point, so how many people are connected to it. It's not a, it has a very limited space on it, and there's a hardware development kit, but I still didn't try to compile my own firmware, because so the chip itself has also a flash chip connected to it. That's the firmware that I read using a ROM reader, and but the chip itself also has memory, which we still don't know what's on it. Like the guy that does electronics at my company also couldn't really figure out how we compile new things and change maybe the code itself. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that's available. Yesterday I've talked to a guy that bought a smart plug with ESP, whatever the number is, that Wi-Fi chip that's like super common, 28, I don't remember the number.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, and that's super hackable. He found like a replacement firmware immediately and reflashed it, and uses it with something called Home Assistant, which is a Python framework for rules that create an action on your IoT device. So you can say, his example was, when the angle of the sun is something, then turn on the light because it's like going down. So you can do complex things like that. Well, for my device, I'm not even sure if I can compile something new. I'm not sure, like, how do I even get it on the chip itself, because it's already soldered on. It's very, very small, and we had problems even finding the data sheet for it. So there's like, maybe the Chinese internet has better data sheets, but we didn't even, we found the chip data sheet. We didn't find the system of a chip assembly language instructions. So, I mean, if you really want to be, if you really want to control something, better buy a hackable.
On the table. Hackable. Like, okay, so if you go out on the table that's on this by the knot, there should be, on our side, there should be like a roll of tape that's by the back of the table. Sorry, that's our booth is falling apart.
Yeah, I've been talking while you were.
Painter's tape is not the most structurally secure.
I really like it. It seems we should put those sound barrier things that look like egg cartons just to make this
just a little bit better.
Yeah.
But then you miss the ambiance of being in a crowded space.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
And you can Sharpie things on it. Which,
you can. Yeah. That's true. Though we're asking people to not... to be courteous with what they draw. We've had a lot of people graffiti penises all over.
That seems like something that...
Which seems like something that would happen. we're going to try to avoid people putting genitalia and other sexual organs on the booth walls this year. We actually replaced three of the panels. You can see that you have like these really kind of blue, relaxing. Right. And then you have like this seafoam kind of green. So you can definitely see which panels are new.
There's a door that says this door is closed, which is lying because it is sometimes open. So.
Well, so the thing is that when the door is open, the sign that's the words that say this door is closed are hiding.
I get it now.
It's hidden in the pocket of the pocket door.
I get it now, definitely.
So you only see it when the door is closed, making it a tautological statement, as it
were. Right. Anyways, I gotta go, but
you
it
have
was
to
really
go?
Fun. Yes.
Okay, well, before you go, five seconds. When is your talk? Where is your talk?
So my talk is in the booth room at 11 at night today.
Okay.
2300.
Okay, 2300. Yeah. And is there any way, if people want to like follow up on your work or anything like that, is there any like websites or do you have a Twitter account or anything like that?
My email is very simple, m@sveder.com, S-V-E-D-E-R, and I'm on Twitter at m-s-v-e-d-e-r, m-sveder. And it's very easy to find me if you look for Sveder. I think I have Sveder.com. I have everything. It's a nickname from the army, which just grew roots, and it's in Hebrew it means sweatshirt, which is not a, you know, I could have worse nicknames than that. Yeah, I'm cuddly and warm, so that fits.
All right, well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Have a great rest of the day. Yeah, yeah, and have fun here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be here until somebody can relieve. And then I will be relieved. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.